May 20, 2020, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Breath into a dead man. But I'm already
for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday, people. Getting to the last days of May. We're not there yet, though. And about what? Oh, I did have it muted. Brother Matt, we're in Quentin Quarantino mode, so Brother Matt is still sequestered at the Love Grotto down the Pleasure Point a couple miles away, but I'm not totally man alone because those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I got Katie Jane Garside with me. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
You're talking to me from England?
Yep. What? Yes, I am. I'm on the little bit on the left-hand foot that goes out into the sea right in on the south and the south coast. So the little bit that goes out into the Atlantic is Cornwall.
Cornwall, I was going to say, because, I made a record with a band called Tripper in Plymouth, which is near, I think Devon's the next one, right?
No, Plymouth is, in a way, it's like the biggest city to closest to here. It's a couple of hours away.
And you know what's big for me about Cornwall?
Go.
There's an actor named Robert Newton who was from there.
If you see a movie before Robert Newton, his big ones was like Treasure Island and Bluebeard and stuff like this. But if you see a movie before Robert Newton, pirates don't know how to talk in the movies. Robert Newton used his Cornwall accent to invent pirate talk. So he is the patron. He is the patron saint. Yeah, they didn't know. Of course, you know, there was French ones and Spanish ones. But even England ones, nobody knew how they really talked till Robert Newton. So thank you, Robert.
Until he talked. Yeah.
Right. And basically, he just used what he grew up with, right? Like, arr, bring me another cabin boy. This one's Tor, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, September 19th is Talk Like a Pirate Day. So that's how I know about this kind of stuff. We start the show off with John Coltrane doing After the Rain. And then Liar Flower, one of your projects, with Geiger Counter. Katie Jane, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, I had one of those little suitcase record players.
Yep.
And it was in my room with my little sister, and I think I was probably maybe five years old. And Mel would have been younger, and we used to just play a 7-inch single of Downtown.
Oh, wow.
Petula Clark.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over again. And I know we were just so obsessed with that, and it just sounded so thrilling and exciting and full of, you know, it's like full of promise. And yeah, so that I remember that really clearly, and that was the only one we would play. It's just that song over and over again.
You know, I got to connect with that too, because for a couple of years, I don't know, I was six or seven, and five or six maybe, and we lived up in upstate New York because my pop was a sailor getting trained nuclear engine room stuff. And my mom went on a local TV set. This is by a park called Schenectady. Is that a name? That's a name. Dutch name.
Yeah, I got it.
And she sang that song, Katie Jane. My mom sang that song at a local station, and it's in my head as a
musical memory. Did she really? Wow.
Yeah, my mom did a little singing when she was younger in a swing band, and then she did this thing when I was a boy. My little sister was born right around then. That's a trip.
That's really, really sweet, isn't it? My dad was in, we were an army family, so we moved around everywhere. He was in special forces, and we led an itinerant life from all over.
Yeah, you get used to touring when you have parents like that.
You do, don't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we never stayed in one place. More than, you know.
Now, this record by Petula Clark, Downtown, did you get it for yourself, or was it a gift?
No, it just was with this suitcase record player.
Oh.
It just was, I have no idea. I have no idea where it came from. It was just, I guess it must have belonged to, you know, one of the former owners
of that record player. Do you remember the first record that you bought for yourself?
Well, I admit to having really shot memory, and I don't know if it's actually shot. I just don't think I actually hold much, but I had to think about this just recently, and it ended up being like something quite cool. But there is a story to it, and it was Booker T's Green Onions.
Oh, the MGs.
Yeah, and that was when I guess I was about 14. But I was really into BMX bikes and
bicycles. Yeah.
And there was these some cool kids that were wearing long green coats, and they turned out to be mods. And so I went that way for a little while. You know, I tried it on and kind of liked it. And bought the records that they were buying. So that's how that happened. Yeah.
Sam Phillips, when he got his other studio going, I got to record with Tab Falco and Larry Mullins there. And I saw the organ that Booker T wrote Green Onions on.
No.
Yeah, is that a trip? About five.
3 years ago.
How exciting.
Now, at the, where you grew up, or these different paths you grew up, I know you spent some time on a boat, too. Was there musical instruments?
No. No, there was nothing, actually. My sister actually was quite a savant. She could, like, play anything.
Wow.
There was no kind of encouragement in that direction. There was no discouragement, but so she could sort of play, write tunes at 3 or whatever on the piano.
Wow.
But I think where,
Oh, so there was a piano, there was a piano in the house?
No, there wasn't. There was nothing. There was no musical instruments. I think she found her way to an acoustic guitar. She's 4 years younger than me. But no, there was no, my mum and dad were really, really young, and they loved to, you know, they played a lot of Beatles and Stones.
So they're more listeners instead of music makers.
Yeah.
What about school, Katie Jane? At school, were you in the choir or the band or that kind of stuff?
I had this is going back to the army stuff. We like moved around so much that I've got no memory of place or teachers or friends or, but I have this memory of having dressed as a lamb, having to sing a solo.
Oh, wow.
And I guess I was about 6, and the lyric was so strange. I remember it was like, woe is me, oh, how tragic, oh, what a fearful fate. The flowering hope of Athens has been cut down in full bloom. And I had to sing that solo when I was about 6.
How old were you?
But now I look at that, that makes up my whole life.
Yeah, it was your first gig, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've spent the rest of the time dressed as a lamb, kind of, you know, singing about dying flowers, really. So
the lamb gig. How old were you?
I think I must have been 6, something like that.
Have you ever heard of this character called Little Bo Peep? Was it like Little Bo Peep?
I don't know. It must have been a nativity, but
I looked up those
words the other day and I can't find them. I've just got no idea. Well, maybe it was like harvest or something. But usually in this country, you only do like the Christmas, you know, Christmas little school plays and stuff.
But when I hear cut down flowers, I'm thinking of like maybe a World War One song or something.
Yeah. It's really, really. I searched up those words and I can't find anything.
Wow. You
know, I can't find any origin for it.
See, I'm trying to trace how you got in, got where you were with music. And the beginning things, it seems like everybody's got a different journey. And so the way you came out of it. So, what was the first gig you saw? You were with these mod people. So
I didn't see anything then because that was like about, so that was about 14. So before, I think what was really fundamental was the time at sea when I went from, that was 11 till 13. I just turned 14 when we got back. And what we did have was loads of cassette tapes of the great musicals, like My Fair Lady and Sound of Music and Carousel and West Side Story.
Speaking of Cornwall, Pirates of Penzance.
Penzance, yeah. No, I didn't. We never had that one, actually.
No, but it's the furthest town, right? Right on the edge.
It is, yeah. That is the last one that steps out into the sea. Yeah, it is. I do really, really love that place. Did you go there?
No, I want to, but, you know, of course, the Gilbert O'Sullivan, right? Sing-songy. My sisters like musicals and stuff, so I know a little bit, but not much.
Okay. Well, I think that's what kind of that did it, because we were like 2 years in isolation on a tiny boat getting around the world pretty fast.
Wow, that's important.
And there's a lot of downtime at sea, and we had no comms at all. There was no radio, nothing. We had a cassette player, and I was going to say Layli, that's her name, my daughter, my sister and I just listen to those tapes and we never seen the movie, so we didn't know the stories, but we made up the stories with the dolls that I'd made, handmade rag dolls, and just listened to those tapes again and again and again. And I think that's where I just knew that I loved this, I loved to sing. I just loved it.
And also maybe the roots of your composing, because you didn't know the story, so you made up your own.
We made up the stories for sure, yeah. I didn't actually start writing songs until my mid to late 20s, actually. So that came later. I've always sort of seen it visually, I think.
Oh, okay. I want to play something here from Liar Flower called Mud Stars.
time, not so long ago. Things were not so bad, we just didn't know what we had. No, we didn't know what we had. What we had. If we'd known what we know now, we'd have done a million things more. That were bad. We were living life, trying to avoid strife, getting something done, but just not enough. Remember, trying to get something done. Life can be rough, but you gotta get your projects done. Watching people live on TV seems a waste of time. If you ask me, start living a life of your own. Start a moving and a grooving and a making something that's your own. Shoulda had that girl, shoulda had that world, shoulda done this, shoulda done that, stir crazy. Get moving. Life is not a joke, but it sure plays tricks on you. If you find somebody that you like, don't let life pass you by. Get moving. Get moving. You gotta grab life by the balls and live life as you know today. All the things you've done, all the games you've won, all the things you made just ain't enough. Get moving. Get moving. Grab life by the balls and live like there's no today. Get moving. Grab life by the balls and live like there's no today. Upon a time, not so long ago, things were not so bad, we just didn't know what we had. No, what we had. If we'd known what we know now, we'd have done a million things more. That were bad. We were living life, trying to avoid strife, getting something done, but just not enough. Remember, try to get something done. Life can be rough, but you've got to get your projects done.
Never been a lonelier time to learn to unknown frequencies, a twist of the dial. Unknown frequencies, a twist of the dial. Oh,
haven't been able to do it, but I wish I could have given my daughter another one to play with, you know, because it's my relationship with my sister is so, you know, it's kind of everything, really. It's the root to, it's a reason to be, really, you know.
What do you say, fundamental?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we heard Mudstars from Laugh Flower, then Spine, brand new, .im with 019, V-Vale, Stir Crazy. Radio Keeps Me on the Ground from I See Hawks in L.A. and Great Willa. Lauren out of New York City with Suicide Note. K Saluda, that's K, from Black Flag with Gurgling Cod. Bilge Pump out of Leeds in England with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Blonde. And Strack Slip, brand new project with John Talley Jones and the Urinals, Drama Queen, finally Liar Flower. My brain is like an airport.
My brain is lit like an airport.
Lit like an airport. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think there's a slight difference.
It makes a big difference. Airport and then lit like an airport. So the airplane can land. So you know, being on the boat and stuff, okay, so you do get back on land. And did you do the? You're telling me you didn't write songs till your 20s. Me too, early 20s.
Mine was a bit later, I think.
Yeah. But did you copy songs? Because I did some of that.
Oh, well, you know, there's a big moment that happened, actually. And I only just sort of grappled with this just recently out of the memory vaults. But I made a tape, and I was singing along with Stevie Nicks on Rumours, on Dreams. I was just singing with her, you know. I had her singing on one tape, and I sang along with her and recorded it on another tape. For some reason, my sister had that at boarding school. I'll be really quick with this. She'd gone there because we'd come back from sea and we had no money. We had like 50 quid and a boat, and my dad went overseas to work. So she'd gone to boarding school, but I refused. And one day one of the kids' father walked into the dormitory and heard that tape playing. Mel had taken it, and it was somebody called Glyn Johns, a producer.
And he
asked about who was that singing, and he invited me to come and sing with his son's band, who is Ethan.
Wow.
So that happened to me when I was like 15, 16. And so suddenly I was playing around in a huge,
Glyn Johns made Who albums and stuff.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin.
Happened to know his son? Wow.
He asked me. I mean, there's just the chances of that happening. Ethan and I messed around for a bit and, you know, tried to make songs together, and, you know, it's fledgling sort of atrocities. It fell apart. He and I were together, you know, it's sort of like teenage love thing. And then that fell apart, and I was suddenly without that. We were going to go to LA and, you know, become rock stars, and that all fell apart. And I'd lost my scholarship doing art, and so I just went to London, and that's how. And then I started answering ads for bands, you know. And
what do you mean, like in the Melody Maker or something?
Yeah, it was the Melody Maker.
Wow.
I went on some pretty, you know, some strange adventures, and eventually answered, first person to answer an ad that Crispin Gray had put in the Melody Maker for a female singer, and that became Daisy Chainsaw.
Now, was that scary? I mean, just cold call like that?
No, what, you mean answering the ads and going around town? I don't know. I don't think it was scary. I'm used to having my heart in my mouth anyway.
Because I would have been scared. No, I got into music to be with my friend, you know, and to answer an ad. No, I've heard of stuff like this, and people, yeah, being really lucky. Did you have to go through a lot of ads before you found CRISPR?
You know, I think I did maybe three or four. I remember one, and, you know, that's just all landline telephone in those days.
Sure.
And so you go and meet up with, you know, I remember sort of wading through sort of knee deep with beer cans or whatever in a squat to go and meet some guy in his room. I don't remember what happened there, but that one didn't work out. A couple more mundane ones. I remember somebody asking me if I'd cut off all my hair or something. I remember thinking that was a deal breaker.
And, yeah, not too musical.
And, yeah, I think they're testing me to see how committed I would be to their vision.
You just don't say how high, if I'm going to jump, it's how high I'm going to jump.
Yeah. So I met Crispin, and I was very, he had these very strange razor sharp cheekbones, and he was what is this one about? I wasn't sold, you know, but he was very persistent, we were in a rehearsal studio for 2 years or something, and nobody else was calling, so I kept turning up.
But you knew you had the music bug from that, the previous thing, making the you just wanted to be in a band, right?
I had to, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, I did have a good music teacher at school, a jazz pianist, and he picked me up and was having me sing jazz standards like After You've Gone, and he was really good to me and gave me so much of his time. And
Do you remember his name? He was
Dave Lewin, jazz pianist.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked him up recently, a couple of years ago, and he's still alive.
That's great.
I owe so much to him, because he really. He really gave me his time. And
I try to tell people the big thing in music is people. It was that way in the old days. It's still that way. It's always going to be about people. You know, we're at the end of the first hour, May 20, 2020 edition, Mark Pedro Show. Special guest Katie Jane. Hold tight for hour two. May 20, 2020. It's the second hour. Watt for Pedro.
But it's singing. Thank you. We'd like to dedicate this to the memory of the guy who was probably the best electric guitar player that ever lived, or so far anything, including John McLaughlin and Chad and Jimi Hendrix. We didn't write this song, but interpreted it quite well. We're going to take it a little bit different place. So, apocalyptic vision for you all, I was saying.
Dress swims with.
Pedro show. We started the second hour off with Ruby Throat doing Hoo-Ooh. And now, the way I arranged the songs, I didn't really know the chronology, but because Ruby Throat's down the road. What's really early is what I'm going to play last, Daisy Chainsaw, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Now, with Crispin, that was, what project was that there, KJ?
That was Daisy Chainsaw.
Oh, that was like Daisy
the,
Chainsaw.
That was the... Okay. After, that was...
So that's when you first doing, like, gigs and... With the teenage thing, you didn't do as much gigs and recording, right?
No. Oh, well, no, there was recording with that, with Ethan.
Okay.
But I don't have any of that.
Okay. But with Crispin, you're two years in a practice pad?
I think so, yeah. I think I was really dragging my heels.
Okay. But finally you started playing, right? You guys start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about the first gig, the first Daisy Chainsaw gig. What was that like?
Well, you know, I'm not built for it. So, you know, I got one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake.
Yeah, that's...
And that really sets up a really, you know, a lot of friction.
Yeah, a little bit. So, was it a big gig? Was there a lot of people there?
I'm sure there was probably nobody. I think it was actually the Bull and Gate in Camden.
Okay.
A pub gig. But the strange or fortuitous or odd thing that happened was that first gig of our lives got reviewed in the Melody Maker.
Oh.
Because Crispin happened to work with an aspiring journalist and, you know, in his rubbish day job thing. Our first gig, and this guy got his first piece in the Melody Maker, Jonathan Self. So,
now, what was it like to read
about?
Yeah,
that first gig was reviewed.
And, what was it like to read about yourself?
Well, you know, I think it gave us like, oh, well, you know, okay, that's what happens. That's what happens in London. You play a gig and you're in the Melody Maker. And I think maybe that gave us a sort of jolt. I don't know, maybe if you kind of say, oh, the doors open real easy, maybe they just kind of do.
Okay. magic carpet ride.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it was a good gig. I won't pretend that. I don't think it was.
First gig, right?
You know, a rabbit in headlights. And all that, and
you mean like a deer with the headlights?
There was something that happened. Yeah, I saw a gig very shortly after that where.
And now, tell me that story again before all the dropouts. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no overdubbing. Yeah, so
you said you saw a gig right after your gig, right?
I saw this band with Crispin at the Mean Fiddler, and it was a band called Some Have Fins, and I saw this singer just wearing it all, yeah. all his neurosis, it was all there, and that was a transmission to me. I just went, you don't pretend to be something, you just be this, wow. You be what it is. What is happening in this body right now?
Sure.
Be it. Just have be that instead of trying to be something. And you know, that was it.
That singer gave you the go. Here's the geo.
Yeah.
I want to play Lesions in the Brain. Okay.
Yeah. For the crust and the lace and the red eyes, wait for the run on the rain. I walk the dawn and I drink for the sunrise. I walk the dawn time again. I watch the mystery, watch for him watching me, watch for the mystery song. Checkpoint the Charlie of someone's divisions, and I won't be waiting for long.
Going in. This song's a PSA for turtles. It goes like this. If you want to save a box turtle, you want to save a box turtle, that's crossing, yeah, crossing the road. Just pick him up and put him on the other side of the road. If you want to save a box turtle, if you want to save that box turtle, he's in danger of getting squashed by a goddamn car. Don't take him with you. Yeah, don't take him with you. Don't take him with you. I'm going to tell you why. Because box turtles live their lives within only 1 mile. And if you take them away, they'll die. Yeah, they'll die alone and sad. He'll try to get home, but they'll end up dying alone and sad. So if you want to save a box turtle, you want to save the box turtle that's about to get squashed on the road, pick him up. Yeah, just pick him up and put him on the other side of the road.
Oh.
people. That was lesions in the brain, just wearing it, you know. And Lala Shwari, the name of the projects.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Okay, that was when I was in the second band, Queen Adrena. I started just assembling my, getting my toys together.
Yeah.
You know, a 4-track tape machine, and that was keeping me sane, actually. In the behemoth, I think that Queen Adrena was, and I just started writing with my broken toys and bits of crappy stuff, non-musician, making it up.
And this was like a woman alone, just you.
Yeah, actually, well, okay, that song that we just played, that was actually just improvising in my room with Orson Wadji, who was our bass player. He's an incredible bass player, actually. He's an incredible musician, Orson is. And we were just improvising and writing. So that actually didn't come from the broken toys. That just came from improvising straight onto the 4-track in my little studio. I mean, studio as in one room that you live in. I don't mean a recording studio.
The bunker.
The bunker. Yeah.
Alcazar. I've been to the Alcazar in Sevilla. Yeah. After that, we heard OMFU, Old Man Fuck You, out of Knoxville with the Box Turtle song, Few, out of Tokyo with Scat, Ha Ha Tonka Heart with Arkansas, and finally another Lala Shawri.
Lalashwari.
Am I pronouncing that right? Dark Angel.
Yeah, Dark Angel, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't make that with broken toys either. Yeah.
Okay. Well, these are the tunes that Howard gave me. He should have gave me the broken tune toys. Broken toy tunes.
Yeah, I forgot those ones.
So, did Daisy Chainsaw, did it have kind of rough ending?
Well, you know,
Or just ran out of gas?
Are we running out of gas?
Chainsaw.
No. It just, I think, you know, they turned around and told me I had to do another world tour. And I was just shredded. Yeah. And I shaved my head and went, I don't think I can do that. And I walked away from it.
Yeah. A big difference, right, between making music in the bunker and then world tour.
yeah. And so it was so young as well.
Yeah, right.
But I look back on it quite, now I'm remembering. Yeah. I look back on it fondly.
Okay. Popeye said, I am what I am.
Yeah. I am what I am. Yeah, and that's the same thing, you know, it's sort of that wasn't ready to do that right away again. Needed to go and make sense of what had just happened, and I think I've always had this compass thing going on where I've not wanted, and I so there's two-way thing with this, but I've not wanted something to get too big, or unconsciously not wanted something to get too big, because I'd either be get lost in it or lose Yeah, the overwhelm and lose control over it. I got to the position where in a very small way later on, where you end up playing you're sort of responsible for other people's paycheck to a degree.
That's right.
And that's a really uncomfortable place to be in.
Especially if you want to be creative, right?
Yeah. If anyone's got any design on you or you're booked out a year in advance. I've never really been in that position, but I know something in me just won't let me do it. I do literally fall apart, so I can't turn up for it. I'm not very happy about that because, you know.
No,
but on the other hand, I am happy about it, actually.
The pop group once said, self-defense is no offense. So, you know, if it doesn't feel healthy, I think you did the right thing.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for saying that. And yeah. I know you're someone that knows as well.
Yeah, about 40 years in the racket.
Yeah.
We're at the second hour, May 20, 2020. Special guest, Katie Jane. Hold tight for hour three. May 20, 2020. Third hour of the Lots of Pedro show.
Just finished mowing the edging and dusting the lawn for a bird left into the circular and the back of the wind of the mountain, inquiring into his arm and his head. I used to care about it. He was a New Yorker. He could go anywhere. And it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin and accept the fashion tree. But why not know himself? There was a circus in it. He would ship himself car circulars to special delivery. The next day, while going to the supermarket, medium-sized cardboard box was right for his personal display. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could drive quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, perhaps some midnight snacks, and they would come in his biggest manager. By Friday afternoon, while they were set, he was thoroughly packed and approached all his neighbors to come up and bring him back. Mark was packed fragile, and as he sat pulled up inside, resting on a foam rubber cushion, he thought he would. I tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marcia's face as she opened the door. He saw the package she had given over and then opened it to see the love and the moral papers. She had kissed him and then maybe they could see him leaving. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped the package. He felt himself blown up. He landed with a flag and checked him. Marcia thought someone had just finished the scene. In a very rough time. She had to remember not to thank him. They had been nice about his life. After it was over, he'd say he still respected her. After all, it was certainly the way of nature. And even though he knew he didn't love her, he could feel an affection for her. And after all, they were going to pass. Oh, what joy to teach her all the best and better than his own. She and Brian were very best friend, walked into the kitchen and the door into the kitchen. God, it's actually the marketing stuff. I know what you mean. I feel all the time. Marcia taking the bell from the top of the road and the slip by the edge. Feel around her finger over some soft things on the kitchen table. I took on the end of the face. I'm so much to be thinking of soft things, but she never really knows. I think we feel it growing up. Marcia started to pat herself under the chin. An exercise she'd seen on the old machine. Don't even talk about it. She got up from the table and went to the same place she picked up a bottle and she blew by her lips. That one is supposed to be better than a steak. And then the painter to touch her knees. I don't think I'll ever touch a martini again. She gave up and sat there. This time nearer the small table that supported the table. Maybe Bill would know. She said that she was his friend. She lingered on a few of them. After last night, I thought maybe you could feel it. I know what you mean by God, he was at the market place, and that's all over. She gestured, raising her hand upward to the place. The thing is, after a while, I'm tired of doing it. After all, I didn't really do anything with that on this day, so I kind of owed it to her. You know what I mean? She started to scratch. She was eager to pretend with her. I thought you'd have to be so much, and even after a while, I wish I had four of them. I wanted to. Now she was talking very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson, the current scenario post office, ran the door with a large stucco plate in the house, and Marcia Dodds opened the door with his yellow and green strips of paper sign, and left with 15 cents of Marcia and Crockett and her mother's small beige pocketbook in the day. What do you think it is? Marcia asked. Marcia stood with her hands folded in her back. Inside the package, while they're quickly with the second, there's a message from Uncle Joseph. Sheila ran her hand along the line. Maybe get a scissors. Brush your right into the kitchen. Wash your hands with a little sandwich. Once you remember, you can follow the time to wash your tools and things. You land downstairs, and once you come back, this is the best I can find. This was very unfair. I'm going to do it. She sank into a large cup of coffee and exhaled it over. Sheila tried to make a slip between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard. The blade was too big. No one's in that way. God damn this thing. I'm very unfair. I'm smiling. I got an idea. What? Just watch. Inside the package, you all need so transparent to the center. You can feel the heart of the center. You can feel the heart of the center. You can feel the heart of the center. She was stood there with that thing, wrapped around the center. Then she sank down to her knees, grasped the cutter by both hands, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the shoulder, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushion, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head. It split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
Wap for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Kitty Collar Tight from Queen Adrena, which people were actually going backwards. So off the air, me and KJ were talking about maybe it's kind of like archaeology. So as you're digging, the earliest stuff is the last stuff you find. And the stuff up top is like the more recent. So
yeah, that's me today.
Yeah, so there's a method to the insanity. So, okay, we had Euphoria's Destination have that Hero's Quest, and Swenson Klein out of Quebec with Hot Keys, side B. And last Aquarius, Jesus lives in Mexico. You know, you're named Jesus. They usually call you Chewy because nobody wants to call you Jesus, right? And Paul Jacobs F that with Laundry, Dream Phases, Clear Skies, Living More for the Hell of It. And finally, Cold Fish, Queen Adrena. So how does Queen Adrena fit in with the Lalashwari and...
Lalashwari.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Lalashwari, I was like, you know, doing that on my own in my in my nest. My up in the treetop. Just trying to make sense of all the noise that was Queen Adrena, and that was like a decade of 8-9 years of that noise. I've been wandering around after Daisy Chainsaw, like exploring, going up to Lake District and recording rivers and howling, and somebody called it the other day, they called it Scream of Consciousness. Well, it's really beautiful, isn't it? Scream of Consciousness.
And Lake, that's by Carlisle, right? We're on your way to Scotland, right?
Yeah, and it's just so beautiful. Have you been up there?
Well, I've driven, of course, you know, the west side of England, and then you go into, it actually is. Very, very, there's a lot of rain, so there's a lot of green.
And there's many mountains, really. And I lived there in a purple house with an old woman called Varia V. I'm going off track. That's, So I've been doing that and, I had this idea of putting together all this elemental music of the waterfalls and my scream of consciousness and poetry. And that was the plan. And I came back to London to put all that together. And then I ran into Crispin from Daisy Chainsaw again.
Yeah.
And we'd sort of, started tiptoeing around each other again and put together Queen Adrena. But I was quite sort of furious because I'd sort of been had fallen out of my utopia into this sort of rock behemoth kind of thing. And so I struggled with Queen Adrena, actually. Sure. But I got in too deep. And I don't know if you might empathize with this, but bands can be quite tricky. And once you're in, it can be quite difficult to get out and all that. And if something's so-called working, in quotation marks, it's quite hard to walk away sometimes. And that's what happened. That was my 30s, really. In my 30s was Queen Adrena.
Cold Fish. Well, I want to play something from Daisy Chainsaw here. Love Your Money. You guys kind of had a hit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of a life gone by. I hold you dear, but life is relentless. At least your anger is gone. You were my mother. I considered you a real class act. Maybe, just maybe, we can connect with a timeless. Still we measure it. Days on days, a life on a life. Mile markers stand along the highway. They slide by into eternity, where I will join you. Nothing can stop everything receding into our concept of time immemorial. Not appointments, not occupations, not even love. So you have all of this and nothing. The evidence is marked by those odd mileposts.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show last music for this edition was actually Kitty Jane's first music. Love Your Money. And then Zola Jesus, we had her on the show a couple weeks ago. Ashton Bone, Joe Brewer after that, Milepost. Both Wisconsin. When Your Work Speaks for Itself, part 3 of 5 from Henry Kaiser. Huge piece, it's beautiful. He spends a lot of time in Antarctica skin diving for work. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's one of my dreams, actually, to get under the ice with the beluga whales.
You know, he helped make some music for a Werner Herzog movie that was made down there.
Did he really?
Yeah, Henry Kaiser, great cat. He lives up by the city, Santa Cruz. And then Groove Crater Method with Loose Booty on Third Stone, single version of Brother Philip and Big Bear. And finally, Lovely, Ugly, Brutal World from Daisy Chainsaw. So what is your plan right now, Katie Jane?
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking out of a window. And actually, you know what? I got a boat, and we're getting back on our boat because we sail around the world with our baby girl and Chris's teenage son. And we're just waiting to get back on the boat, and we will sail away down to, I think we go to Portugal, and we'll be there for a while. And then, I don't know, you know, if the doors open, we'll go and tour Europe, and, you know, if we're people allowed to stand next to each other or something in a room, we'll go and play some music. We'll go and play live flower songs.
On the boat, you're going to record?
Yeah, we are going to record on the boat. Yeah, it'll be more, it won't have quite so much amplifiers.
Only so much space in the boat. Yeah. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I am, you know, katiejanegarside.com.
Yeah,
there is
great.
That. And then there's, I'm on, you know, Facebook, and I'm Garside. Katie Jane on Instagram, and our record, the Live Flower record, Geiger Counter, is out on One Little Indian.
Yeah.
So we usually do them all ourselves, but this time, because of current craze around the planet, we couldn't get access to our printers, so we went through a label, through One Little Indian.
But they put out some good stuff.
Yeah, I had a really good relationship with Derek Burkett for many, many years. He put out Daisy Chainsaw, actually. So he put out the first band, and now he puts out Lyre Flower for me, and Ruby Throat, actually, and Queen Adrena, actually.
That's great. So you always got a plan B in case you're
primary. He's always been really good to me.
I mean, you put in some time. What about if a younger woman or a guy just getting in this music racket stuff asked you for advice, what would you tell them, Katie Jane?
Yeah. Well, I think, oh my goodness, I think I don't know if I could give advice on anything to anyone. I think that's probably the best I've got, Mike, on that. I don't think I could ever assume that. But I did go up in the mountains and do that scream of consciousness thing, and I think that's a really good thing for anyone to do and find out what their voice wants to tell them. And I'm wary of some of this stuff, but it's what we're all reaching for here. But, you know, there's this idea of being sung rather than singing, rather than trying to sing. But I think you have to go and make a lot of noise without any inhibition.
Yeah.
In order to find that. So I guess maybe go someplace where you're completely uninhibited.
The place was important, huh? That purple house.
Yeah. 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 It really was. It was a really important time there. And after I came back from that, a long time later, actually, I found out that it had actually been a hangout for lots of poets and actors and musicians, but I'd never known that. So Ted Hughes had been there, who is a poet that I really loved, and he'd actually been living in that house. So it was really, yeah, it's a very magical place. Got burnt down, doesn't exist there anymore. But standalone wooden purple house in Newland Valley in the Lake District. It's a very, very magical place for anyone to go to. That is utterly beautiful with waterfalls and mountains.
Well, maybe everybody's got their own kind of purple house where they can do their scream of conscience.
Yeah, they got to find it. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's advice, I guess.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think that's really good advice. I wish somebody would have told me that 50 years ago. Maybe they did. I was hard of hearing. Okay. Hey, Jane, it's been a huge honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much. I wish you the best with you and your family's little voyage here. It sounds like it's going to be kind of creative.
Thank you so much. It's such a sweet thing to speak to you, Mike. I really, really, really enjoy it. Enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. People, it's been May 20, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.